Most of the efforts on the media today have been focused on Russia's operations into Pokrovsk and the fact that they have surrounded the Russians, the Ukrainians there. They are closing in on surrounding in Kupiansk, so two big issues focused on there. But while all the focus has been on what the Russians are doing on those tactical locations, there has been less visibility on what the Russians are doing at the strategic level. What are their true war aims, given all the things that have been going on in the war up to this point? Where are they right now? And most importantly, where are they going to go next? And to try and help them make some sense out of some of that, we have back with us today Commodore Steve Jeremy, retired from the U.S. UK Royal Navy. No insult intended there, so sorry for giving you the wrong nation, but welcome back, Steve. Really a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Gary. I'm not clever enough to be in the U.S. Armed Forces, so don't worry about that. I'll take it as a compliment. And the subject areas of matter close to my heart, what's going on strategically. I've heard recently three or four other podcasters on this side of the pond have been talking about the mistakes that Putin have made, and it actually frustrates me. Because it feels to me that they're actually doing their analysis based on their guesses or their opinions on what should be done rather than actually really having working hard to understand what the Russian strategy is.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're so eager to have your comments on, because I think that too many times that some people believe and get the idea that war is a zero-sum kind of situation in terms of if you don't do everything right, then that's evidence that something's wrong. But if it's a war, that means there are two sides that are actively trying to kill each other and to mess things up. And so there are going to be setbacks, there are going to be losses, and there are going to be problems that every side has. It's just inherent in killing things or killing people and blowing things up. So no one should expect that everything is going to go swimmingly with the Russian side or the Ukraine side for that matter as well. But I think that there has been some unreasonable expectation on that. But so looking at things the way that they actually are and all of the tactical and operational aspects that have been going on, I want to kind of take a look today at where the Russians, what they may be thinking, what some other folks have suggested, and get your views on some of this. And I want to start off with a U.S. commentator, retired Army General Ben Hodges, which we've talked about before, because I think he gives a pretty good, common view of how many in the West, and I'm talking at the highest levels, actually view things here. And there is a whole group of people in both the Europe, definitely in the Ukraine, and in the United States that represent the view here that there's a problem with America's view on where this war is going, specifically Donald Trump's.
I believe the administration's approach has been doomed to failure from the start. They have never understood or even cared about the origin of the conflict, the causes of the war, the geography, or the history. He won't even say that Russia is the aggressor, and he has never told President Putin, get your troops out of Ukraine. Instead, they talk about Ukraine needing to give up land for the sake of peace.
So I think that's really illustrative of the mentality behind the thinking of too many people in the West. And again, this represents the elite thinking in the United States. That was at Maastricht University. So it's an intellectual, an elite kind of forum that then the people that were in the audience were the same from Europe here. And his claim is that the United States doesn't understand the situation. It's the United States that doesn't understand the history of the war and that doesn't even call Russia the aggressor. Now, there is certainly plenty of room to say that Russia did invade on the 24th of February in 2022. That much is true. But history didn't start on that day, and I think that that's one of the big problems. So really, even before we get into what is the grand strategy on the two sides here, what is your view on the, I'll say, skewed understanding on this view of the Western side?
I mean, ironically, what General Hodges just said, he sort of, when he started off by sort of trying to suggest that the Trump administration didn't understand the origin of the war, is actually, I would say that he is absolutely doesn't understand the origin of the war himself. It's classic, I'm afraid, of people who actually aren't prepared to do the detailed and deep historical analysis. Yeah, we know that going back to 1993 and there and beyond, that's where you can trace the origins back to. And I'm surprised that somebody like General Hodges, who surely ought to be looking at some of the Russian statements, you know, the Russian statements that have been made, you know, after the assurances that were given by Bush, at the end of the Cold War, and then by Clinton and others as we ran through towards where we are. Those assurances were given, and then the West drew back from them. So it's rather sad. What I think it is also is, Danny, is a sort of, it's an example of what I call cult thinking in the elites in the West, because this is not an unusual view. It's actually, sadly, quite prevalent over here in Europe, I would say. Many of the political leaders, in fact, I would say most of the political leaders, and quite a few of the military leaders as well, former military leaders, take the view that Russia's the aggressor. Nobody has bothered to look at the history of the conflict. Nobody has bothered to look at what happened at the end of the Cold War. Nobody's bothered to look at the warnings that were given by the Russians. And what's curious as well is nobody has bothered to actually take seriously the warnings of some of the greatest strategic thinkers in the West. You know, I would start with George Kennan, you know, who said that this would be the greatest foreign policy error of the post-Cold War period, running all the way through to John Mearsheimer. And what John Mearsheimer has is something which all of these elites are amazingly they're amazingly disaffected by. That he is prescient. None of them are. You know, none of them have been able to forecast the wars, whereas John has been almost on the money throughout, as indeed have we all on this, us independent analysts, yeah, have been prescient as well. And I'm afraid that it, in cult thinking, you get to the stage where people actually, they start to believe their own narrative, and after that, they actually rationalize everything that they hear, facts and evidence, through the lens of the cult. And they try to either rationalize away the evidence that suggests otherwise, or alternatively, they just ignore it. And I'm afraid that Ben Hodges is doing just that. So it's disappointing. But another one, Danny, for that generals and senior politicians platoon of ours. I mean, I think Ben Hodges is right up there in getting into that platoon.
I'd like to see those guys storm Pokrovsk. That might be a good first destination, probably the last destination as well. Let me ask you, though, how much of a problem is it when the elite thinkers are approaching this in a way that's, I mean, you can say it's disconnected from how the other side views it. And the question, I guess, is a better way to put it is, how dangerous or difficult does it make your problem to try and win a war, or for your side to win a war, when your approach to it is almost like a 45-degree angle, just completely different than what the other side is viewing it? Or is that a big issue? And to be specific here, the Russian view of this and the Western view of this are pretty different, I would say. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to solve a problem on the strategic level with a war, how important is it to have a baseline understanding which either matches what the other side does or at least acknowledges the core realities on the ground?
Yeah, it's absolutely critical. I, as you know, I read a book which is out of print, so I'm not advertising it, although I'm hoping to get a second edition done, but I called it Strategy for Action, Using Force Wisely in the 21st Century. And I was doing it because at the time of writing, which was from 2005 through my time in Kabul through 2010, I'd sort of arrived at the conclusion that the West had forgotten how to think strategically. And it was an intuitive conclusion. But the more that I wrote and the more that I researched, I realized that I was absolutely on the money. I and a general called Rob Fry were actually taken in front of the British Public Administration Committee, I recall. I think we met 2009, 2010. And in this, I said just that, you know, that we've lost the capacity to think and act strategically. But that thinking and acting strategically has got to start with really good strategic analysis. And the analysis is, if you look back through history, it's there. It's in recent writings. It's in the Weinberger Doctrine. It's in those things which say, let's do an estimate and work out what our objectives are. I mean, what we've seen in the West is a set of objectives which probably started out, if you take the RAND study of extending Russia in 2019, this is a way of extending Russia and eventually leading to its collapse. And we've sort of been walking back for our objectives, some of them explicit, some of them implicit, for the last sort of 7 or 8 years. And we're walking back from them because we've never been clear on them in the first place. So objectives is the first issue. Or sorry, even going further back than that, the first issue when thinking about strategy is what's the context? Yeah, how do the Russians feel about this? How do we feel about this? How do all the different people feel about it? Then with strategy, it's about ways, means, and ends. Yeah, what are our objectives? That's what the ends are. And what are the means? So what resources are we prepared to allocate to this particular conflict? And what are the ways? So what strategy should we adopt? Now, I still don't have a really clear understanding of what, when we started out, the West's objectives were. And I think that's because we didn't know. And when it came to resources, there was a clear imbalance between the resources that we would need to defeat Russia, if that's what our objectives were, and I still don't know if they were, and the ways in which we might do it. So I doubt that any of that analysis was ever done, because if it had been done in the first place, and if it had been done prior to the war, then we wouldn't have engaged it in the first place, because we would have said to ourselves, just a second, if we're going to try and do this, we're probably going to lose, and it's going to be politically damaging for us. And we'll lose a lot of lives, Ukrainian and potentially Western as well. So I doubt the analysis was ever done. And if it had been done, I think that the thing that would probably come out of the analysis, and it should have been done in a sort of coalition of those people like to engage, but if it had been done, then I think we'd have been had much more sober thinking, and thinking which would have said, are we really prepared to go into what is a high-risk campaign with relatively low chances of success?
You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to start with that aspect of things is because I am concerned about what may happen to this course of this war from the other side, who does appear to do those kinds of analysis and does appear to apply the ways, means, and ends to their strategic thinking, and then are taking action based off of it. Now, I think that it is very clear that either our side did not do that analysis, or, and probably the more likelihood is that our capacity to do the analysis is deeply flawed, because I'm sure that they did some sort of analysis, but I guess that they said, no, we'll figure it out or it'll work. I don't know what they did. All I can say with some confidence is that they shouldn't have, because that analysis would not have led, as you very articulately just put, we wouldn't have even started it if we can't finish it. The ends and the means and the ways, et cetera. If they don't line up, then why go down a path that can only fail? But yet it appears that that's exactly what we did. Now, given what we have done, there was, I want to get your view on something that Jim Jatras said on, I think it was redacted here a couple of days ago. Jim Jatras is a former American diplomat, and he was asked, based on where things have been up to this point and where the West still is, and the West meaning Europe, Ukraine, and the United States, where we still are on trying to prosecute this war, what does that leave for the Russians? What is the Russian war plans, as best he can analyze? And it's a little bit concerning. What do you think? Watch this.
We have this unfortunate upward spiral of escalation where the one side, the Western side, that doesn't hold any cards, keeps throwing more chips in and raising the stakes and escalating. And the other side that holds all the cards doesn't want to call, doesn't want to actually finish the war militarily, would rather the other side fold. So they'll keep incrementally raising the heat, taking more Ukrainian territory, killing more Ukrainian soldiers, and then saying, okay, now will you face reality? Will you now fold your cards? And we're not going to do that. So I think we've got this really, this cycle that there's no way to escape from. It's going to keep escalating until one or two things happen, it seems to me. Either the Russians decide that there is going not going to be any deal, that they actually go for the jugular, take out the Kiev regime, kill off the presidential administration, the Rada, the military intelligence, the secret police, and so forth, essentially liquidate Ukrainian state, or somebody crosses a line somewhere that nobody expected, and this thing becomes a direct conflict between NATO and Russia.
Okay, so is he exaggerating? Because his view is that if we continue on the path that we've been on for the better part of 4 years, or Alan, really you can go back to 2014 if you wanted to do even that. But he said if we stay on, there's one of two things. He says either Russia will completely decapitate the current regime in Ukraine, or it ends up being an escalation into war with West. I mean, let's just look at those two things first.
I'm very sympathetic to what Jim was saying, although I think I would, I think I'm more nuanced in a couple of areas. I mean, the first thing I think again, we've got to come back to what we think Russia's strategy is.